on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also brought to you by Fenley Chevrolet is your home for Woo! Located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
Here we are once again, Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino on a Monday night. A little bit different for us. Usually on Thursday nights, and we'll be on Thursday nights the rest of the way. But a Monday night show tonight for you, as we will talk Runner Rebel basketball. John Sandler, Robert Smith, head coach Marvin Menzies. We're going to hear from Joe Esposito a little bit later on. All sorts of things about the Runner Rebels and the Mountain West Conference this year, a little past the halfway mark in conference play. And interesting, thought it might be appropriate tonight to take a little look at maybe some of the surprises in the conference, and both from a good and maybe a bad standpoint, talk about where the Runner Rebel program is in relation to some of those teams, and continuing with our look at not only this year's team, but at the future of this program as this rebuilding process continues. Head coach Marvin Menzies is with us. Obviously, we'll reference the game on Saturday against Fresno State. That wasn't a lot of fun. Get ready for Air Force. Fun for them, yeah. And then get ready for Air Force coming up tomorrow night at the Thomas and Mack. A big game for the Runner Rebels, trying to split the season series. Got worked up in Colorado Springs, and going to try to get the split against the Falcons tomorrow here at the Thomas and Mack. Coach, Saturday wasn't much fun for anybody, as you said, but Fresno, that's a good team who played really, really well.
They did, and, you know, like I said, right after the game, you know, that's how I felt. And then you go watch the film, and then you go, man, we weren't as bad as we looked. I mean, the score was what it was, but we were in the game, and we were competing, and we had a couple runs there where I think
– You got it to five twice.
Yeah, and it just – but we just couldn't, you know, like we talked about at the beginning, good teams in any conference, you have to be able to go into that second half and you know, have a 20-minute war. You spot a team too many points in the first half. It's just that uphill battle is sometimes is too far to climb. So, but, you know, I talked to the guys afterwards and the staff, and then we all got together and went back and visited with the team. And they're still in good spirits. They know that they played hard, but they had to see exactly where their breakdowns were. And it's just a lot of little details. As you know, Robert and I were talking and have been talking about the details. We got to get these guys to do the details.
Right.
So their efforts have been great. But, you know, we're just shoring up the little things at this point.
And, Robert, you use that term all the time, little things.
Yeah. Well, I was always told in order to get to the big things, you got to take care of the little things. And that's what builds your foundation to becoming a good team.
Coach, have you ever had a team – that, I mean, we talked about a roller coaster ride. We knew it was going to be this year because of the youth in this team. You couldn't have anticipated losing your best player in Shakur Justin for the season, which I think increases the amplitude of those ups and downs quite a bit.
Right.
But have you ever had a team that, you know, could look so good on one night, you know, when the Rebels go to Boise and just take care of the Broncos, and then on other nights, you know, the double-digit losses in conference play. Have you ever had one that was up and down?
My third year, I think it was the third year at New Mexico State. I think we started the season like 3-6 or something like that, and we took a beating at UCLA. We lost by 30-some points, and then all of a sudden, you know, we go to Pepperdine down the road, we get that one, and then, you know, we kind of catch fire. We take a couple lumps along the way, but we ended up playing our best basketball in March. We went to NCAA that year, actually lost to Michigan State in the first round by 3 points, and they went on to the Final Four that year. But that was one of those years where there were a lot of highs and lows, but you always felt like we had a good team. You know, even at Boise, we didn't clobber Boise. They scored like at will on us the first half.
Right.
But we did very senior things and very mature things in the second half defensively and connected. You know, we talk about establishing this young squad has to learn how to do the absolutes, the details, the little things, every single time. And that's the deal. We're teaching them those absolutes right now, and they're still not doing them consistently. But once that kicks in, and that could kick in this year, I like today's practice. I like the way they got after today, and you would hope that that, you know, rolls over to tomorrow. So, yeah, I've had that one team, and I may have had another as an assistant coach, but as a head coach, that's the only one I can reference.
Well, I mean, Robert, I know you can jump in, but just so people understand, I mean, this isn't his fourth year coaching, right? I mean, he's saying that he's had a year like this in his third year at New Mexico State, but he's been a coach for sorry for talking.
He's trying to tell your age. He's trying to tell your age.
For at least 7 or 8 years.
No, only a head coach for, what is it, 13 or whatever it is.
Right.
But, yeah, no, it's been a journey. I mean, like 36, 37,
something. The point
like
is that in that many years of coaching, this kind of inconsistency and kind of up and down roller coaster ride doesn't happen all the time.
No, not typically. You'll have a lull, and then you'll get back, and then, you know, you'll finish strong. We've played our best basketball in March, typically, since I've been a head coach. And, you know, last year was the only year I can – in recent memory that I can think of where we weren't where we took that hit late at the end of the season. So I think we've addressed all those things, you know, culturally and within our basketball program that we feel like we'll continue to grow and progress here for the rest of the season for sure.
At any time this year, have you looked at this team and felt at some time that maybe they're starting to figure it out, and then, you know, and then you see that fall back with this group.
Mbake every game. It's like Mbake, you go, he'll have a nice little turnaround jump hook on the baseline, and then he'll go block a shot, and then he'll miss a point blank layup, you know, all in the same game. And you're like, okay.
Right.
I get it, you know.
And see, everybody else sits around. You say, I get it. Everybody sits around and goes, I don't get it.
Right. Well, those are – that. He's kind of like the microcosm of us. You know, he's had a good year. He started off strong, mm-hmm. and then he hit a little bit of a wall when the scout was out on him. And then he came back and he was playing well. Then he got injured. You know, that could be losing Shakur, you know. Right. And then he comes back and he's grinding to get back, but he's not 100%. But the last two games, I did think that he, at least physically, he was running the floor well, and he wasn't as hobbled in this last game, which was good. So when I'm watching him play, I'm watching his gait, and you know, I'm watching other things as well, because I know it's just about, you know, the whole journey for him. It's never going to be one game.
How much of Joel Tomboy's recent, and I'm going to use the word struggles, but, I mean, it hadn't been that bad, are a result of the team's now, hey, wait a minute, 24, we got to pay a lot of attention to him, and this is what he does, and let's take that away.
Yeah, they look at tendencies. They're taking away the spin dribble move in the post. They're taking away two teams face guarding him and wouldn't let him catch it at all. That frustrated him. He'd never dealt with that, I don't think. So a lot of it is your tendencies get exposed over a course of time, and obviously other teams are going to capitalize on that.
And as a player, in order to get better, you've got to learn to deal with that, both physically and emotionally.
That and exactly, and especially for a freshman. And then the counter is, it doesn't matter. You just have to play on, and you have to play hard. And you could control the things like rebounding, and you could control, you know, your effort on defense. But when you're, for lack of a better word, immature, you let that offensive side of the ball affect, you know, your responses.
Yep.
If you don't have a positive response, you're not going to have a positive outcome. So those games that he struggled were as a result of that. It's not that he all of a sudden lost all his talent. He just didn't always have the proper response.
Do you think not having Shakur around has affected Mbake's growth? You know,
I actually think he would have grown more if he was a support guy. I don't think he was ready to be thrust into.
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Not having Shakur there, did it? You think that's affected
Mbake?
Negatively affected.
I think so.
I wondered about it the other day. I was like, I think if Shakur was around and playing with him, mm-hmm. he would you know, he probably wouldn't feel the pressure as much.
Exactly, because most people think, well, he's getting more minutes.
Right.
Well, they play
right.
different positions.
Exactly.
So he would have had a little less heat on him, number one, mm-hmm. and he would have had a senior experienced guy talking to him on the
right,
floor,
right.
guiding him through things. You know, Noah's had to do it, but it's kind of – Noah has to do it for all four guys. Mm-hmm. He would have had, like, a big partner
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Well, also, you know, just physically – they would have been focusing on Shakur on the boards, trying
right.
to keep him from getting
yep.
the rebounds.
Yeah.
Made life a little bit easier for Ibaka
no
as well.
No question, yeah. yeah. Now, there's a lot of dynamics that would have been different with him, but, you know, he's not here. So,
yeah.
you know what I mean? It's yeah. like there's no Air Force doesn't care that he's out, you know.
Well,
Fresno State didn't care that
actually,
he's out.
I think they do care.
no, they're
yeah.
happy.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
yeah, right. They care the other way, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's just that no one else cares about your problems, you know, or your issues that you're going through. And everybody's got them.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel so bad for, you know, Wyoming and what Coach Edwards has had to go
Man.
Through. You know, I don't feel bad when we play him, obviously, but, you know, when you look at what he's suffered through, I mean, he's got, and I mean suffered, he has – what, five or six guys out?
A number, yeah,
yeah.
a big number. So we talked about Joel and dealing with that for the first time, those issues for the first time. A guy who's dealing with it the second time and I think is doing a really good job for the most part is Amari. He's grown.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He understands a little bit more, okay, teams are going to focus on me. They're going to try to take away my left hand. They're going to try to take this away.
Right.
They're going to try to do this to me on defense, and he's making the adjustments for the most part.
Yeah, he's been really good. He's grown exponentially, actually, from his freshman year to sophomore year, not just with the minutes, but the minutes created an opportunity to have real-time education. So those teachable moments could happen on the floor, not just in practice, and that's when you can really develop, you know. So a lot more communication one-on-one, a lot more film work, a lot more sample size of film to work with. And then he's had Noah there to kind of watch and learn from him as well. So, you know, it's kind of his deal next year. He's got to be the guy, you know, in the beginning of the year. He'll play a bunch of bunch of minutes, obviously, so and to go make a bunch of money later, hopefully.
Yeah. yeah.
But, you know, that's just the way it goes, and so that's kind of all fitting into the overall paradigm that we always talk about.
And I feel, you know, a lot of the young players this year are gaining valuable minutes and time this year. It's not showing maybe by the record, but
right.
I think, you know, the following years we'll see just how much they've learned from this year.
Yeah, you know, people, I know sometimes guys, like there's certain games, I referenced a game once where I thought it was good that the guys got minutes, and it wasn't a lot of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been a Reno game. I think I referenced it. And,
yep.
and it was only like 7 or 8 minutes. But 7 or 8 minutes in that atmosphere – against your rival,
yep.
that's real experience. You know, it's not 20 seconds or a minute in trash time.
Right.
You know, and people don't understand that. Like that's a lot. But even as we go on, like Bryce has played more minutes
yep.
here in the last
mm-hmm.
few games. You know, I'm optimistic that Trey and JT will JTT will get in and get more as they continue to figure it out. But we're still going to coach these games to win these games. But I am conscientious of trying to get those guys ready for next year at the same time.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all part of the long view. And, you know, fans sometimes don't understand that as much as you coach to win each and every game,
right?
There's also, as you said, getting experience for the younger guys, trying to at least let them know, at the very least, let them know what their shortcomings are at this level and what they've got to work on
right.
in order to be contributors in years to come.
Yeah, and it's just it's the process,
yeah.
right? I mean, we talk about it all the time off air when we're traveling and, you know, at the restaurants or whatever, but it is by design and it's in an order. You know, there's a very specific order that occurs, and you always hope and work towards speeding that process up, because that's what you're inevitably here to do, is win basketball games. There's other components. Me, professionally and personally, I feel have to be integrated into that, like, you know, good citizens
classroom
and
shit,
community
yeah.
service and academics. Because for me personally, why I got into coaching had nothing to do with winning and losing. That's not why I coach. So that's just one of the measuring sticks in coaching. So the higher you go, the more – important it becomes. You know, it wasn't as big deal when I was at Hamilton High, right? it was big to us, but it wasn't like it was, you know, everybody's tweeting and blogging and doing the things that they do with social media now as well. So you understand that.
Y'all couldn't be Dorsey anyway, so.
Yeah, no. You're all out of my mind. All right. No comment on that. Beat them 8 times in a row.
That's but anyway.
There you go.
But, no, the fact of the matter is, you know, winning is an integral part of the job description. So eventually we want to get there and stay there, as we've always talked about. So that's what we're working towards now.
How do you and the staff you mentioned it before the Fresno game that you talked to Justin Hudson, who's a, you know, a protege of yours, you know, and he's dealing with that first year head coach thing where nobody, until they sit in that seat, understands the pressure. They understand how your life changes based on a win or a loss in a non-conference game against Bucknell or, you know, whomever, and how, you know, for the next 3 days, you know, you're kicking the cat and you're yelling at the paperboy or whatever just because of that.
Well, it's I described it once to a close friend. It's like a little mini death. Like it's a little mini death in the family. You know, you get consumed with this you know, just sad feeling, and you go through a process of recovery, right?
The 5 steps.
It is. I'm telling you, that's how it
Warning.
Is.
Because,
and it's not because of the outside noise. It's just because of your expectations for the young man that you're developing. And so you feel bad for them. You feel bad for, you know, your staff. You feel bad for everybody. And eventually, as being the leader of the program, I'm responsible for how they handle it. Yep. And I'm responsible for not just the staff, but the support staff and the players, you know. There's a lot of people depending on this program to continue to grow and eventually become very, very successful. So there's a heavy burden that comes with that, and with rank comes that responsibility. And I accept that gladly at this stage. I've said to this, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but I wouldn't have wanted this job when I was 30 years old or something, first year head coach or
it's
something.
It's a hard job.
It would have been, I wouldn't have been ready for it, number one, because I, at that stage of my career, I was listening, right? And then you figure out how to, like, you know, insulate yourself and focus on the task at hand and, you know, put your nose down and just grind and get your kids better because, and you know what I do? It's like anybody who goes through adversity, you get back to your training and to your original, you know, beliefs on why you do what you do and that kind of stuff. And then you really lean on that and you surround yourself with awesome people like Joe and Coach Brown and, you know, Andre LaFleur and Coach Laird and then you just go to work. And then the kids eventually get better and then everybody loves you when you start winning. That's just you know, it's all good.
I think it's something maybe that you know, as a fan you react emotionally. And, you know, and, oh, my team lost, so I hate everybody, and everybody stinks.
Right.
And, oh, my team won, they're the greatest people in the world, and it's all sunshine.
If we win the last 7, and if they lose this one, and that's cool, and that's what sports is all about, right? That's the deal. But you want passionate people around you. I don't really know if you want emotional people around you. When your decisions are based off emotion, you have highs and you have lows, extreme highs and lows. But I want people that are driven by their passion, and I want people that are driven for a purpose.
Right.
And that's my players and that's my staff and everybody. So when you have passionate people around you, it's different because you could take a hit, you could take an L, or you could take a, you know, whatever it is, a loss of a player, and you could still have passion for the next possession and have the inspiration to still be positive and move forward. But when you have emotional people around you, it's you know, and you're always going to have, fans are emotional, right? Which I'm emotional. I was totally upset about the Rams loss, you know. We won't talk about that anymore past today.
But that's
my fan team, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, but my occupation, my career, my love, you know, and profession is passion driven, which is different.
And I brought it up because I think fans sometimes lose sight of the fact that there are a whole lot of people when the Rebels win or when they lose whose lives get immediately better for a short period of time or immediately worse for a short period of time. And, right. and you know, these are people who are invested and have put umpteen hours and
into children.
Yeah. Blood, sweat, tears. Well, I mean.
It's an 18-year-old we're relying on.
I've said it to you many times. You know, I don't say it out loud too often, but you got to wonder about someone who puts their entire professional life in the hands of a 19-year-old guy.
Well,
right?
That's why you got to be good at what you do.
Right. Exactly.
And I understand what we're dealing with. I understand what's in front of us. I understand the expectations. But I also know what works for what my original request was, which was consistency. You know, they want to compete at a high level,
right.
but they didn't want to just be a flash in the pan type deal.
Do you have to remind yourself or those around you, hey guys, we are 2.5 years out of zero.
Yeah.
Zero, which is where we were 2.5 years ago.
No, I don't think so. Not the people
okay.
intimately involved with the program. You know, fans, you don't worry about responding to them anyway. In terms of that, you know, the negative stuff. You know, to be quite honest, like the folks that show up here, these are people that love our program, support what we're doing, how we're doing it, and they hurt when we lose, you know? I mean, they're like, gosh, their team lost, you know, and they're down. And they have the right to say, man, we got to play better defense, or, man, how can we shoot this well this game? And I get it, and that's fine. I think what you have though is a situation where you have a plan, a proven plan. You know what works, and growing pains are growing pains, and you just got to get through it. And you plow through it, and then all of a sudden, when it starts to become rosy, just like that year that I talked about, my third year at New Mexico State, when it gets rosy, it gets real rosy.
Oh yeah.
And then the expectations are. I mean, I can't believe we lost in the Elite Eight, you know, like, it's like, you know, we should have been in the Final Four. And I look forward to that, you know, and that's what's ahead.
Right.
Don't make no mistake. That's coming.
Yeah.
And it's coming sooner than later, but it's coming. And that's when that time comes, then you've achieved, you know, the goals,
right.
you know.
And you can't, and Robert, you can't fault fans for wanting to get back to that. I mean,
no.
Look, we've never had more fun. Than when the Rebels go to the tournament
right.
and, you know, win the Mountain West Conference tournament, go to the NCAA tournament, win a couple of games.
Right.
That is fun. I mean, capital letters, bright lights, all of that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of work that goes into getting there.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when things happen to this program that happened a couple of years ago to the point where you kind of got to start over.
Yeah. But and you know what? When it comes to fans, I never faulted a fan for saying, hey, man, you guys stunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
I'll take it.
You probably did.
I take it because all it does is feed me fuel. But I'm glad that I have those kind of people on our side, you know. And you know, yeah, some of them can go overboard. But I take things that I need to hear from them, and then I run with it because, that everybody has their opinion. And I mean, they're gonna say what they want to say,
right?
But is the important thing saying, you know, you're right, and I'm gonna use that to but come with me on the journey.
Yeah,
don't
oh, yeah.
abandon
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get angry at me and abandon me.
Yeah,
come with me on the journey.
When we lose a few,
yeah.
But my high school coach always said, hey. People are gonna jump on the bandwagon, but you got to know who's true to the program,
right?
And those people you always praise and make sure they stay with you.
You know, there's a thought process when you're a head coach and you're put in a position like this. This is a big time program. This is not a program that hasn't had success. So they know what it looks like.
Right.
So it's even more. You know, critical that everybody in the program, meaning the administration, the players, the staff, accepts that responsibility that we've got to put in work and we got to work our tails off and we got to give everything you can, because that's all you can do is work your tail off and try to experience that success sooner than later, because at the end of the day you've got a brand. You got to literally, it's not even like a college. It's a brand.
Yeah, right. You're responsible for it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, those four large letters, you know, hold a lot of weight and a lot of history and a lot of tradition. Mm-hmm. So you owe it to those players before you, and you owe it to the coaches before you that did such a phenomenal job to build that brand, to give everything you have. And we do it every day. And I don't think there's too many coaches in the country that work harder than myself or my staff, if any. And that's how we'll get there. It's just a grind, baby.
Yeah. I mean, you're honoring the memory of a lot of people. And, I mean, it's apropos to talk about that because I think it's today. It might have been yesterday, but I think it's today is the anniversary of Tark's passing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, talk about an icon here in town and, you know, the most important person in the history of this program. But and he's not the only one whose memory and whose work you're honoring by putting in the work you're doing today.
Absolutely, and you know I see Tark's face all over the office and the statue, and we just got a brand new piece of artwork that I forget the gentleman's name who donated it back to us, and so we put that up in the office. It was a beautiful piece from actually Joe can speak about it because it's up near his office and. And so it, you know, he's alive and well here in Vegas, and you know, we definitely honor his memory, and we definitely will work to make him proud.
Beautiful. All right. We are going to take a break. We are going to come back. We're going to talk more. We're going to talk about Air Force. We're going to talk about program. Lots of stuff to talk about here on the Marvin Menzies Radio Show. Fans, remember the 2019 Nissan Rogue. It's one solid Defender Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. You are listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
They got to get a stop right here.
Taylor in the corner to Williams. Brings it out top, and it's stolen by Clyburn. Chris Clyburn in the lane. Chris underneath lays it up and in.
Great.
Chris Clyburn, as he has done all season long, doing a great job for the Runner Rebels. By far the most consistent.
Mr. Consistent.
Absolutely. And that, remember, Robert, that was the question we had. Was Chris Clyburn going to provide the consistency that the Runner Rebels needed this season?
Sure enough.
We are back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. John Sandler, Robert Smith on the Marvin Menzies Radio Show. Joe Esposito, special assistant to the head coach. That's only before games. I don't know.
Well, you know, the Cup of Joe thing is kind of creative, but when you think about it, there's no real Cup of Joe anymore.
No.
Like yeah, my wife, those old coffee shops.
Nah,
and,
they don't. My wife goes into Starbucks and she's like, "Give me a venti latte mocha, two pumps."
Well, you're
two pumps with.
They give you three or four pumps.
You know what? You're doing a good job because you've gone from trente to venti.
Day, it's all the same. I know it comes out like this, and it's like $9.
That's right.
Exactly.
And it has layers.
Yeah, but you go to. Coach will recognize this name, Dupars. If you go to Dupars, you can get a Cup of Joe still. You know, a diner, a coffee shop, you can still do that. But anyway. We'll ask you the same question we asked Coach Menzies. Have you? Because you've been coaching for quite a number of years. How long you been in coaching?
This is my 33rd season.
Okay. So between you and Coach Menzies, you're talking well over 60. Almost 70. What have you ever been with a team that has been this up and down? Pick any game, beating Hawaii there. Not a great team, but that's a tough place to play. The game against Boise, winning in the Pit, those types of games. And then the double-digit losses that the Rebels have suffered against some of the teams in conference. Have you ever experienced this kind of roller coaster ride?
Not too long ago. I was at Texas Tech University. We took over a program that was just in shambles. And we brought in a freshman class, and it's similar to our guys. And I said when I first got here and saw our guys, I said to Marvin, I said, you know, I think the guys here at UNLV look better than the freshmen we had at Texas Tech. Well, in year two, we only won three games.
Is that
I'm
right?
Talking three games now. Now, you know, people are talking about our team. There's a lot of teams looking up at us right now.
That's right.
We are fifth place, are we not?
Right, right.
I mean, there's sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of teams looking
up.
Yeah,
but this is UNLV, Joe.
I get it. It's UNLV. I get all that. But you know, there's a lot of UNLVs out there. You know how that is. There's a lot of good programs that have won a lot of years, and it just takes a little time. But back to your story is we won three games. Well, the next year we're in the NCAA tournament. And then 2 years later, they're in the Elite Eight. Now, we left, but the same players were there. So I've seen that, you know,
right.
the culmination of a program getting to where it needs to get. And it's a tough road.
But the point you make is interesting. So you said you guys took over a program, it was in shambles, and you brought in a freshman class. Well, think about this program. 2.5 years ago, it was in shambles. Coach Menzies didn't even have an opportunity to bring in a freshman class. Really, not so much last year either. Somewhat. This is the first year you've had a chance to bring in, quote unquote, a freshman class.
No question. And that's what's so exciting about what's ahead. You know, and, you know, like when I look at the Fresno game and just watching the video, you know, it's a 5-point game. And we fought and got back
there. Two chances to get to 2 or 3.
And Mbaki has got the ball right into the basket. And he's trying to, you know, if you just pass it out, he's trying.
Right.
You know, he's trying to do the right thing because he's been taught the right things to do. He knows what to do. But it's that experience. And you look at Fresno's, you know, team, and they're the 20th most experienced team in the country. They've got guys that have been there, that have been through highs and lows. And we were the third youngest team in the league until we lost Shakur
and
we
and
lost
Shekna.
So we go to the lowest.
Even lower.
You know, yeah. So you got to look at that. But our guys fight. They work hard. They believe in each other. The culture is there, and it's exciting. And I'm going to tell you now, there's not a lot of guys like Marvin. He's out there grinding. Today, he takes all the chairs out of the film room. Because we had these nice chairs where the guys would just
lean back.
Yeah, you ain't doing no
out.
Fat Joe lean back. You ain't doing that. Now it's sitting up in the chair leaning up. And you're looking at that video and you're paying attention because we've got to get better every single day.
Yep.
And those are things we've got
to
do.
Well, Joe, I mean, you can attest to this, and Marvin, if you've been in this game long enough, you're going to have seasons like this because of the turnover of kids and things that happen. So, I mean, you know, I'm not surprised by it, you know, the way we're playing, because I feel we will pick up and get better. But if you've been in sports long enough, you're going to find seasons like this.
You're right. And I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of basketball to play.
A lot.
I mean, if you look at what's ahead, you know, we got, you know, a real tough game tomorrow with Air Force. And, you know, and then we got to go to Wyoming and San Jose. And we got a nice schedule set up where we could actually have one of the best, conference records in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to play for, and our guys are excited about what they're to play for. So it looks like, you know, that's what the exciting thing for everybody in the program right now is. There's a lot of games out there,
that's a lot
of basketball. And when you guys talked to Marvin about, you know, being that head coach and having to make those decisions, well, when I was in that position as a head coach, everybody around you thinks they know everything. You got to make the decision.
Right.
And that's the thing that, you know, everyone, we should do this coach. We should do this coach.
Who do I listen to?
You got to make the decisions on your own, and you got to do a good job.
Yep.
And that's what he's doing, and he's staying with what he believes. And that's the most important thing about this game.
Do you want me to get to the suggestions we're getting on Twitter that are coming in the form of the questions? We hold those for Coach Menzies.
You can do whatever you want to do, to be honest with you, because I know what he'll answer too.
Well, I mean, it does bring up the point. I mean, and we haven't talked much about this, about what it's like to be a head coach versus an assistant. And both you and Coach Menzies have been in both positions. But it's very different. It isn't very often that you have a job where everybody is telling you how you should do your job. And, yes, you're well compensated, and, yes, it is a special job. But that does have sort of an impact on your day-to-day existence, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does. Because I remember when I moved those 7 inches into that seat,
yep.
And as a matter of fact, the best team that I had, two of the guys were from Marvin's junior college, two great players that I had. So when you do move over from an assistant, those 7 seats to being that head coach, it's a whole different ballgame.
Totally.
And you've got to make those decisions, and everybody has every answer, and everybody wants to tell you how to do things. And it's even harder in today's world with Twitter. When I was a head coach, there wasn't any Twitter.
No.
You know, nobody's tweeting away, Coach Esposito's. So it's a different culture now. But like you said, being a head coach is a different beast, and especially in a program like UNLV where what they've done in the past, and you want to get to that point, and no one loves the program more than he does, so that's exciting.
Yeah. What do you want to see from these kids? We'll worry about next year later on. But what do you want to see from these kids this year over the next 7-plus games, however many it extends, conference tournament or whatever, that'll make you feel good about the future?
Just to continue to get better. I mean, that's the thing, to see them every day in practice get better. And they're like sponges. They want to learn. They want to do things. Like today in practice, you know, we're talking about playing a zone tomorrow a little bit more against Air Force to combat some of the things that they do. And to see them, you know, just ask questions. you know, coach, what do I got to do here? What do I got to do there? And to see how they just have embraced the coaching because they want to get better.
Right.
You know, they're really, really good guys, and they definitely want to get better. So just to continue to grow, and these wins are going to come. And we got a bunch coming up here that are winnable games, and the guys are excited about those games, and they want to continue to do well. You know, we got two great road wins. And that helps grow that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys are excited about that. So we're looking forward to the next few weeks.
But, hey, I'm looking forward to these next couple of games. I mean, it's hard to believe we're this far into the season and you still got a number of quite a few games left.
Yeah, seven games, I believe, in conference left. And, I mean, the way the conference is set up, it's so bunched up. I mean, almost anything can happen. No one's catching Reno.
No.
And you know, that's that. And I think – you know, we talked about it a little on the post-game show after the Fresno State game. Reno is at one level. Then you've got Fresno State and the surprise of the conference,
Utah State. That's right.
Yeah. And when they were picked this year, nobody knew about Queta, the Portuguese freshman, 6'11".
He's good.
Yeah, he's really good. He might be 27, but he's really, really good.
What were they picked for, in the preseason?
I want to say they were middle
seven,
of the pack.
6'7"?
They were either fifth or seventh.
Yeah, right around there.
Right above us, okay. Or right below. Mm-hmm. But then there's the group that's the Rebels and San Diego State and Boise.
Right.
And you got to put Air Force in
you
there
have to.
With their record.
You have to.
They're just a game and a half, two games behind the Rebels. They're 5-6.
Yeah.
And you probably throw New Mexico in there, although they've had some frustrations.
And don't sleep on them because they still got San Jose twice.
Yeah.
They still got when you look at the schedule, what's left.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they've got
the easiest schedule.
They have the easiest schedule.
So they can still win nine
and
games.
And Colorado State, you know, with Carvacho as talented as he is and Page and those guys, I mean, the Rebels finished the year at Colorado State. You don't want to be in a position where you have to win that game to do something in the tournament or something like that, because that'll be a tough one. So there's that middle block of teams that the Rebels are part of. The difference is those teams are way more experienced than the Rebels, and the Rebels are competing with them with a whole bunch of sophomores and freshmen.
Yeah, and that's true. And that's where we got to get these guys that are freshmen to be sophomores and sophomores to play like juniors and so forth.
Yep.
And you got to think about, what we can do to improve and what we can do every day to improve, whether it's in video, whether it's on the court,
mm-hmm.
whether it's anything that we do as a team. How can we grow,
as a group
and trust each other? And there's so many components when you're building a program that you have to do. And the main thing is building that trust,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's an important part of anything that you do. So we're doing those things. We're heading in that direction. And like I said, there's older teams, like the Reno team, how old they are.
Right.
As a matter of fact,
it's the oldest team I've ever seen.
I think two of those guys were at my 15th birthday party.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think two of them were. I think they were. So, I mean, they are older, and it's important that we understand that because we're older. And, when Marvin took the job, one of the first things he said was, get old, stay old.
Right.
And that's a good formula for victory.
Uh-huh.
But when you get back to that head coach, assistant coach, I don't know if anybody saw, but did you see him yell at me on the bench the other day?
No, we're going to talk about that. We got to take a break.
Yeah, let's
talk about it when
was
we
it about
back.
The shoes?
I don't know. Was it about the shoes? he was yelling at me for something.
We'll find out all about that when we come back. Fans, remember that the Marvin Menzies Radio Show brought to you by Dignity Health, where they know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why they offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Back with more Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Taylor down the left side. Taylor underneath feet, drives. Blocked from behind by Amari Hardy. Great play. And now a loose ball on the floor and a tie-up. It'll be Rebel ball with 12.8 to go. Terrific defense by Amari Hardy. One of the better defensive plays of the year. Amari Hardy coming from behind to block an attempt down low against Fresno State. Rebels are hoping for better overall defense against Air Force tomorrow night. 7:30 tip will be on the air at 7 o'clock with running Rebel warm-up. John Sandler, Robert Smith with you. Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick here inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Visiting with Joe Esposito, special assistant to head coach Marvin Menzies. And you were going to tell a story about Marvin yelling at you.
Oh, I was just saying that, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult when you're that guy.
Yeah.
But he was talking to the officials, just trying to, you know, get in their ear a little bit here and there. And I didn't want him to get a technical or anything.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, he just, whoa. I go back in the huddle and just kind of chilled out.
Back that thing up, huh?
Back it up. Back it up. It's a song like that, I think.
Yeah. It is. It is.
So, I could do that dance. I could do that dance.
Yeah, you could in the past. Rebels obviously have had some defensive problems, and a lot of our questions we get are, you know, why and how, and can you try this, and what about this, and bigger lineup and zone, and all of this stuff. Is it more just getting guys to understand, and why can't guys understand the fundamentals, the theory behind it?
Well, you know, it's a different game, you know, now that the guys are so quick and so strong. And keeping guys in front of you, when you're in high school, it's a lot easier to keep guys in front of you because you were the quickest guy. You know, everybody on our team was the best player in their high school.
Right.
Everybody on our team was the quickest guy in high school. So now they're going against the quickest of the quickest. Mm-hmm. And just to learn footwork and to learn consistency, you know, just like the old habits, stuff that they talk about regarding habits and how long it takes you to get out of a habit.
Right.
And it's just like guys closing out with their hands up. I mean, it just takes repetition. Repetition is the mother of skill.
Yeah.
And that's another one of those great Bobby Knight quotes. So, you know, you just got to continue to do the things over and over again, learn footwork, and learn the easy parts. And then you got to get into rotations.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get into, you know, different sides of the ball, where the, you know, ball's moving.
Right.
Weak side, strong side.
Moving with the ball.
Moving with the ball. You know, moving as the ball's moving.
Right.
You know, that's important parts of the game. And just handling screens. You know, think about all the different types of screens that are set now.
Exactly.
You know, the back screen, the ball screen, the flare.
Right.
You're going to see all of them plus the illegal screen tomorrow night.
That's right.
And we will see those tomorrow night because they do a great job of screening, as you know. They do a great job of running the Princeton offense. And they do a good job of making reads. You know, when you're coming off a screen, is the guy going to flare? Is he going to curl? What is he going to do in order to be effective?
Exactly.
That makes you an elite defensive team when you can put it all together. And you can start, and it just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys, you'll see them as they grow, they get better at playing defense.
And just to add on to the things that Joe's saying, a lot of kids, you know, AAU or maybe even their high school coach or whatever, may not even get any of that stuff.
No.
So now if they get to college and they don't have it, they're so far behind. But I've seen it too many times, AAU coaches, guys that just want to coach because their kid is on the team or you know, they want to – just have a job or whatever, but they don't have the fundamentals. So if that kid doesn't learn it then, it's too late when he gets to college.
And there's no doubt. And you're exactly right, because at AAU teams, they talk about the guys that scored. You know,
right.
You know, you never see a mom say to her son, well, how many deflections did you get today,
son? How many charges did you take?
Mom wants to know how many points
did you
score.
That's
right. You know, when you see parents in the stands and they're keeping stats, those are the kids you don't want.
No. that's a problem there.
Exactly right. But going back to tomorrow night's game, there's something that's really important. You're going to see us all wearing the same tie.
Okay.
We'll all be wearing a green fluorescent tie.
Yep. That's the reading.
Coaching for literacy.
Yep.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's a really important thing for coaches and trying to give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that you know, we do really a great job in our program.
Right.
You know, Kristen happens to be here, and she does a lot of community work with our guys.
Kristen,
going out.
Kristen can read.
An amazing job.
Well, I don't know if she can read, but our guys can read, and she takes them there.
Oh, okay.
Now, Kristen does an unbelievable job.
She does a great
job.
She's the greatest. She knew I was going to mention her today. That's why she's here. But I'm just joking.
She's sitting in the dark. She's blushing. She looks like your jacket right now.
But so everyone's going to ask, why are we all wearing the same tie and the same button? And that's what it's for. You know, coach.
Y'all going to wear the same shoes too?
I don't think those guys had the kind of shoe game.
No, they can't mess with you, Joe.
Nobody's got your shoe game.
Nobody can mess with you.
We got to take another break. Fans, remember Findlay Chevrolet.
Uh-oh. I'm ready with you.
Findlay Chevrolet, it's your home for
woo!
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to
woo!
Findlay Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. Back with more Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. All right, back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. John Sandler, Robert Smith with you, the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, running Rebels against Air Force, trying to get a little revenge after the Falcons. They went through this streak up at their place. They won three straight games. against San Diego State, the Runner Rebels, and Boise, all of them by double digits in Clune Arena. They had it going. And they're still very tough at home, and they will be tough tomorrow night as well. It's a 7:30 tip. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock with Runner Rebel warm-up. Rejoined now by Coach Marvin Menzies. And, Coach, I think you know that when you give that headset to Cup of Joe there, there's a chance you won't get it back.
I was actually enjoying my food. I had a chicken tortilla soup going on,
nice.
A little some fish tacos, and I'm thinking he might end this thing.
Hey, you know what was good though? You missed it. he was doing the back it up.
Was he? Yeah, I didn't hear much of what he said.
Yeah. He was
not that I didn't care, but I was visiting with some friends over there. And so sorry, Joe. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You can tell me what you said.
A couple of questions from Twitter.
What's that?
Yeah, one question about learning to play his own defense and what goes in, gets involved in that.
A lot of man concepts in his own defense. And so it's something that to be really good at, you got to kind of invest in it early. But at the same time, it's if you know you want to trap out of it, do you want to – you know, there's a lot of tweaking you can do out of it too.
You can tweak out of it?
Yeah, you could tweak, quirk.
Oh, God, this is head God. Thank God it's our last segment.
And I'm following Joe. What is it?
things you're working on in practice to try to get the team off to a faster start in games.
Well, we're changing some of the pregame things, but it's all a mentality, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Also, you know, it always comes back down to your preparation before the ball is tipped. And everybody's got different preparations, and so individually they've got to figure out some of those things, and we're giving them some suggestions and talking about a lot of that.
Double teaming the post, do we do a lot of that? And if we don't, why not?
Well, I haven't typically done that. We can do it by scouting. You can train guys in going into a scout, a specific scout per se, but with the younger guys, we're teaching them how to stand stances and get their fingers up and rebound and jump to the ball. So you want to teach them at the level they're ready to receive the information.
Got it.
I can't teach a second grade or sixth grade curriculum.
All right. Real quick, Nunu, how's he doing?
You know, he's just not getting on the floor, but he's losing weight. He's doing all the right things on the court and off the court. So, hey, just not playing time for him right now.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Tomorrow night, Air Force, Thomas and Mack, 7:30, 7 o'clock with Runner Rebel warm-up. Thanks to Jared. Thanks to Chris, Robert, Coach, Joe. This is John saying thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow night. Come on out. We'll see you at the Thomas and Mack tomorrow night against Air Force.
Live from Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenway Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Rebels.